scripture reading is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll read the first 11 verses together, and with God's help, we want to look at verse 1 for our text, but especially Lord's Day 28. Out of our catechism, we find that toward the bottom of the page 33 in the back of our Psalter. Isaiah chapter 40, let us hear God's word as it comes to us. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and infallible word. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God endureth forever. Amen. In the back of our Psalter, in the bottom of page 33, we have Lord's Day 28. Question 75, how is it signified and sealed unto you in the Holy Supper that you partake of the one sacrifice of Christ, accomplished on the cross, and of all his benefits? Thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, and has added these promises. First, that his body was offered and broken on a cross for me, and his blood shed for me. As certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and a cup communicated to me. And further, that with his crucified body and shed blood, he himself feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life, as assuredly as I receive from the hand of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as sure signs of his body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer. It is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and the death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the forgiveness of sins and life eternal, but further, also to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Spirit who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, we are nevertheless flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones, and live and are governed by one Spirit as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer: in the institutions of supper, which reads thus: the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. This promise is repeated by St. Paul, where he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we, who are many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. Thus far. Dear congregation, we uncovered the last several Sabbath days, three Lord's days on sacraments. We looked particularly at baptism. And the sacraments, you know, are secondary means of grace. They're not to be elevated above the word. But they are always, whether it's baptism or the Lord's Supper, they're always to be attended with the official preaching of the gospel, the word of God, which is the chief means of grace. Baptism speaks about our incorporation into the visible church. And that's especially important for our children and young people. Even though you weren't conscious of the fact that you were baptized, you were incorporated, you were made members, real members of the Church of Christ, which means you belong to Jesus, which means his love is showed in the sacraments to us. But the Lord's Supper, the emphasis has different symbols. It's not just water, it's broken bread and poured out wine. And speaking about not only our incorporation in the church, but our union with Christ. But why so much space in our catechism on the Lord's Supper and baptism? Why so much emphasis on sacraments? It is to give us comfort, beloved. We need comfort. We need assurance of God's love towards us. And so he gives us his word. And as he did to Abraham, he gave him the sign and the seal of the covenant and circumcision. So we have God's tokens of love. So we want to look at our theme, assurance at the Lord's table, by three places. By a divine command, by a divine feast, by a divine promise. Assurance at the Lord's table, by a divine command. Let us consider then in the first place this divine command. Verse 1, what Isaiah sets before us, comfort ye my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. it's special for us that in God's way of providential dealings with us, next Sabbath we plan on having preparatory week or Sunday, and the following Sunday the Lord's Supper. But instead of having just one week, we have an extra week to deal with the Lord's Supper. We have extra preparation given to us by the Lord. And we come every Sabbath to do what? Do we say, well, we're going to go to church, or I have to go to church? Or ought to be in our hearts, we're going up to worship the Lord this morning and this evening. We're speaking about biblical worship. But how can we worship God if we don't have assurance that He loves us? And it's greatly to be feared that many people today know nothing of the gospel. They're members of churches, they go through the motions, they even take the Lord's Supper, but we are to be assured, if we are to worship God in spirit and truth, we are to have assurance, not from the pastor or elders, we're to have assurance from the word preached and the sacraments that God's love is upon us. Anything else would be nothing but slavish fear. It would be legalism. And multitudes do that. And so Isaiah comes to us, or should we say the Holy Ghost comes to us. He says, comfort ye my people. Why not just once? And we find a foundation here for what the Lord Jesus says in the New Testament. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Or amen, amen, or truly, truly. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and yet He makes a special effort in the Word to gain our attention. Truly, truly, I say unto you. And the Lord says to His prophets, and oh yes, there's times for admonition off God's pulpit, but He says to His prophets, speak ye comfortably to my people. And there's precious little of that today. We need to hear, even as our catechism starts out with, what is my only comfort in life and death? I'm not my own. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And from the earliest of your life, children, God has placed the sign and seal of His love upon your forehead. And as much as you're drawn to your father and mother, and you know they love you, even though there's times of discipline, we are to know that God's love is upon us. We find this truth also in Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 35. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom He has already regenerated and incorporated into His family, which is His church. And so, the Lord's Supper is not something we can take or leave. It comes to us by a divine command. Christ commands us to partake of the supper. This do in remembrance of me. But also it speaks to us what kind of life we have. I ask you now, do you have just one type of life within you, or are there two types? The Belgian Confession goes on, it says, now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life. The one corporal and temporal or temporary, which they have from their first birth, which is common to all men. The other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is affected by the word of the gospel. And you notice how our instructor chooses his words carefully, that this second life is from the new birth which is given to them. There are many people today, particularly in Armenians, they think they can bring about their own regeneration or new birth. That's silly talk. We had nothing to do with our first birth, did we? We didn't decide to be born. We didn't decide to be conceived. And so with the new birth as well, the Lord Jesus says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." It comes through the word preached. It comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. And beloved, we have a twofold life in us. The one is corporal, it's fleshly, it's temporal. Those of us that are older, we know a little bit more about that temporary life, don't we? We are nearing the end of our race. This body is dying, but the other is spiritual and heavenly. And Jesus says, those that believe upon me will never die. And so with this twofold life, we come to the Lord's table. But it says, how art thou admonished and assured? The Lord's Supper comes as an admonishment to us, as a reminder, number one, of Christ's death, but number two, of our great need of him. The Lord's Supper, it speaks about sin, doesn't it? Something the modern day church doesn't want to talk about. And something, if we're honest, we don't like to think about, and we don't like to confess that I have sinned before God. Well, it's easy to say, well, I'll forgive you. But it's much harder to say, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. We need forgiveness, beloved. But it also comes with a promise. This command comes with a promise that those that partake of the Lord's Supper in a spiritual way, we feed upon the Lord Jesus. We become more and more united to his body, his shed blood and his broken body. That leads us, secondly, to a divine feast. Verse 1b of our text, Isaiah says, "And cry unto her," that's Jerusalem, "that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned." And then question 76, what is it to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? And we read that already. Isaiah, well, of course, all the prophets are messianic prophets, aren't they? But Isaiah majored in it. He spoke much about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he points again and again in the Old Testament to the one that was to come. The one who would fully accomplish Israel's redemption. As you know, Israel, well, they were a grumbling and complaining people. They saw firsthand God's wonderful works with them. They saw miracle after miracle. And they grumbled and complained, and somehow we can think we can grumble and complain and have a sour spirit, and it's not a sin. Israel was chastised for that sin. They were chastised because that sin leads to other sins, as we find in Romans 1. The reason there are those that are Sodomites is because they were unthankful, they became unthankful, and they worshipped the beast of the earth. And Isaiah proclaims to Jerusalem, to Israel, that their captivity was going to come. And for 70 long years, it was going to lay hold upon them. And yet, at the end, they were going to be delivered. And the Lord says, comfort ye my people. your warfare is accomplished. I suppose there are many Israelites that died in Babylonish captivity. And yet he speaks unto us. He speaks unto the New Testament church through this prophet, saying that we are living in captivity. Do we believe that? We live, as we heard yesterday, we live in a sin-cursed world. And we're held in bondage here because of Father Adam. And the Lord says, your captivity is accomplished. The warfare is accomplished. Your iniquity has been pardoned. All through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper as a divine feast, we are to look to Christ. We are to long, not that we should go to heaven. We ought to be groaning in our hearts as we see what's going on in this world. And see what's in our own hearts. We ought to be groaning like the Apostle John. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because this world is not our home. And beloved, part of our sin is that we've become too accustomed to living in captivity. And we put down our roots too deep. But our instructor speaks about the believer being more and more united to Christ. Paul tells us that. Ephesians 1:4, and he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That is a theological truth. That's covenantal truth. That God chose us in Christ. We didn't choose him. But in time and space, we are to be more and more united to him. In other words, more and more like him. We find that language in John 15:4, when the Lord Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We think about that. How a branch and the vine are knit together, and the leaves way out on the end of that branch receives nourishment from the root of the vine. And you and I are to receive our spiritual nourishment, our life, from Christ. And beloved, here is the key to unity. Here is the key to unity in our families, in our church. It's being more and more united to Christ, more and more made like unto him. And no, Jesus was not a wishy-washy pushover. He confronted error in his day. He confronted those that hated him. But he's love personified. And beloved, as we make ready to come to the Lord's table, if the people of this church cannot see the love of Christ in you, something is drastically wrong. Without me, you can do nothing. We are to be more and more united to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what separates the true child of God from the hypocrite. The hypocrite is content to be a church member, content to sit at the Lord's table, and to eat physical food, which nourishes the body, bread and wine. But the hypocrite never goes beyond that. The hypocrite is satisfied with external religion. But Beloved, as much as we love doctrine, and doctrine is a foundation of all biblical knowledge and worship, Paul says doctrine is key. But head knowledge, beloved, head knowledge alone will not save us. It's to be united to Christ with our hearts. It's to be born again and to live in Him. But lastly, by a divine promise, question 77, where has Christ promised that He will as certainly feed and nourish believers with His body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink this cup? And we have those verses that we read together. And one of them, in particular, at the institution of supper, he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Christ comes to us in the supper. And yes, his threefold office is visible in the church at all times, for the pastor and the elders slash deacons as we have. That threefold office of prophet and priest and king. And we have to realize that though men, mere men, sinful men, are in the pulpit and have handled the sacraments, it is not men, it is not the pastor, it's not the elders that give you the elements. It is the Lord Jesus. Christ is with us, represented by that threefold office, but He is here. And as we receive the elements from our elders and minister, we're to see the Lord Jesus Christ is the host. He is the gracious host, and He says unto us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. There is no pastor that can give you rest. There's no elder or deacon that can give you rest. We need assurance at the Lord's table. And we find that this is not just New Testament. The Lord our God, Yahweh, He spoke to Israel. He told them to go out early in the morning and to gather bread from heaven. Angels' food, manna they called it. And it pointed ahead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we gather up, so to speak, the elements of the Lord's Supper and pass them out amongst us, it is God speaking to us the same way He did in the Old Testament. He speaks to us today. And it's not just looking back, although that's the main point. This do in remembrance of me, but the Lord's Supper looks ahead as well. Ahead that we're finally, someday, going to be delivered from our captivity. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not in captivity. I live in a free country. Then I ask you, when's the last time you looked in your heart? And you find there's sins there that hold you captive. There are sins that you cannot master. And you have to keep asking the Lord to forgive you. And we can have fresh resolve never to do such and such a sin again. And there it is. We are held captive. And we ought to long for the day of visitation. But the elements speak about blood of sprinkling as well. We think about the Lord telling Moses in Egypt in captivity, take a lamb and kill it, put the blood in a lintel and the doorpost. Remember, children, what God said to Moses and to Israel and to all the people? He says, when I come in Egypt about midnight, He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. There is the key. That is the key to peace with God, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can speak freely of that, can't we? We can take it for granted. But when you're outside, children, and you're working or playing, and all of a sudden you see blood on your hand, we become alarmed, don't we? And the more blood we see, the more alarmed we become, because it means we've been injured. And when we think about the Lord's Supper, when we think about coming to the Lord's table, and we think about, this is my body which is broken for you, this is my blood which is poured out for you, you think about how the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was injured, brutally wounded. As Isaiah puts it, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's not just his body. As we look at the Lord's Supper, we hear a cry of dereliction, don't we? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was held captive in the darkness. As the darkness of sin engulfed him and God's wrath was poured upon him, he cried out. He was forsaken of the Father. And our form says, he was forsaken that we might never be forsaken. And in closing, the Lord's Supper speaks much to us about our preparation, but in reality, our best preparation is but filthy rags, isn't it? The Lord's Supper speaks unto us. It comes from God. It has a divine institution, and it binds him to us. Much like when the husband at the wedding ceremony is asked by the minister, do you promise to love and cherish your wife, provide for her sickness and in health, the death do you part? That wedding vow binds the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. And the vows God places upon us, I say it reverently, as the best of all fathers, it binds him to us. It binds him to provide for us. That's the last article of Canons of Dort, Preservation of the Saints. It binds God to us that when we cry, Lord, forgive me, I've sinned again, and I'm held captive by this sin, we go back to Isaiah and God comes to us, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Your warfare has been accomplished. The Lord's Supper speaks about that. Our warfare has been accomplished 2,000 years ago. May the Lord write these things upon our hearts. May we meditate upon them. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we do give thee thanks for thy word of truth. We thank thee so much for the preached gospel, but also, O Lord, for the secondary means of grace, particularly to the Lord's Supper. And grant, as we plan on having preparatory Sunday next week and the Lord's Supper the following week, grant, O Lord, already this Sabbath day, we might consider these things. We might read our text again and meditate upon thy command that we would be comforted. And Lord, though we have many sins, may we find that our comfort, our only comfort in life and in death, is that we're not our own, but that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, seal thy word to our hearts. And hear this our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.